you can be seated. That is a wonderful prayer as we come to God's Word this morning. I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 17. We pick up where we left off last week in verse 10. And we'll look today at Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15. We're going to speak today or talk today is from this text and learn today how to be noble with your Bible. How to be noble with your Bible. Kevin DeYoung said nobility, based on this text, nobility is measured not by title, land, parentage, wealth, or degrees, but by how we handle the Word of God. And that's what we're going to see in these verses this morning. Last week we saw at the beginning of chapter 17 that Paul and Silas went into the city of Thessalonica. They went into the synagogue, and there were some who believed, but there was a great number who were hostile and who disbelieved and disagreed and rejected what Paul and Silas were teaching about Jesus, that the Jesus of history was the Christ of Scripture. They didn't believe that, and so there was hostility. Those who hosted this new faith that Paul was proclaiming, the gospel, those who believed this gospel were attacked. Paul was able to escape from Thessalonica, and he comes to Berea. And that's what we see happening as we begin in verse 10. So follow along in verse 10 of Acts chapter 17. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews, that is the ones in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there also, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command from Silas, or rather for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. That is, those who accompanied Paul to Athens. Let's bow and ask God to lead us and teach us as we've already sung. God, would you open your word to us today? Would you give us understanding? Would you help us to rightly handle and hear your word, and would you enable us to be changed for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. There are three things today that I think come straight out of this text as we think about how to be noble with your Bible. And so I want us to walk through these together this morning. The first thing that I see as we come to these verses, Acts 17, 10 through 15, is this. We should all be eager to hear teaching from the Bible. Be eager to hear teaching from the Bible. It says in verse 11 of our text, now these Jews, that is those in the synagogue in Berea, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And then right after that, it says this, they received, this was a part of why they were more noble. They received the word, that is the word that Paul proclaimed, with all eagerness. Be eager to hear teaching from the Bible. Now let me just ask you a couple of questions as we think about this statement here in this text, and as we think about these Jews who did this themselves. If you're a person who confesses faith in Christ, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to think about a couple of questions in light of what we see here. One, are you eager to listen and learn? Or are you bored and distracted when God's word is being preached, when God's word is being taught. Think about that. Are you eager? Eager to listen and to learn? Or are you more often bored and distracted when God's word is being proclaimed? Something for all of us to really think about. Because over time, we can gradually, if we're not attentive to it, we can lose our appetite. We can cease to possess the eagerness that maybe at one time we did possess when it comes to hearing God's word proclaimed, when it comes to hearing teaching from God's word. Here's another question for you to think about. Similarly, are you eager to take advantages of opportunities to hear God's word more? When there are more opportunities than just a setting like this, are you eager? Are you eager to take advantage of those opportunities so that you can hear teaching from the Bible more? Are you eager? Let me just mention, in addition to what we do here on Sunday morning at 10:30, we have a time at 9 a.m. throughout the year, except for in the summer when we have life classes, and that's another opportunity for you, if you are a person who's following Jesus and who's trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's another opportunity for you to be equipped and to be taught from the Bible. Let me very quickly just mention the classes that are happening right now at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We have systematic theology. Some of you may be wondering, what is that? Well, systematic theology answers the question, what does the Bible say about the main doctrines of Christianity? So we have that class each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. right now. And then also another class that we offer is entitled How to Study the Bible. And maybe this is a question you have. How do I understand the Bible when I read it? That's what this class is going to help you do. Understand the Bible better. Look at the Bible, read the Bible better, and understand it. We also have here in this area at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning another class called Confronting Christianity. It answers this question, how do I answer the hardest questions people ask about my faith? It's about how to ask the toughest questions, or answer rather, the toughest questions that are asked in relationship to Christianity. And then another class that we began today that's offered each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. is the Discovery class. Maybe some of you are newer to the church and you're wondering, where can I find out more about South Canyon Baptist Church, its priorities, its mission, its belief? That's what the Discovery class is all about. So here again, the question is, are you indifferent to opportunities like these, or are you eager? Are you eager, like these Jews at Berea, are you eager to hear teaching from God's word? That's one of the things that made Luke describe them as more noble than the Jews who were in Thessalonica. The second thing that I see, and we're going to spend a little bit more time on this one because I think this is helpful and important for all of us, be sure to examine teaching by the Bible. So be eager to hear teaching from the Bible, but then also be sure to examine teaching by the Bible. That's what we see happening here in this text. Look as verse 11 continues. After it says in verse 11 that they received the word with all eagerness, it says, in addition to that, or with that, that they were examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That is, if that's really what the scriptures, their Bible, the Old Testament we would call it today, their scriptures, if in fact what Paul was saying was in the Bible, if it was what the Old Testament, their scriptures, taught. And this is important for lots of reasons. One reason is this. If you look at the history of Christianity, one of the things you'll discover is that all major heresies in church history have claimed Bible support. In other words, those who were teaching contrary to the essential truths of Christianity throughout the history of the church were doing so while claiming that what they were teaching was actually in the Bible. And they were using Bible verses to justify the things that they were teaching that were actually totally contrary to the essence of Christian faith. So we need to be sure to examine teaching by the Bible. In other words, all of us should be careful and serious about making sure a passage means what a teacher says it means. We should all do that. Now let me pause here in one sense and give sort of an aside in connection with what I'm talking about here. I, in the history of my being a pastor and being a follower of Jesus Christ, I've read things and heard things that have concerned me in the name of discernment and using this text to justify what some people do. And what I'm talking about is this. Some people have the idea that what they believe is right in every single way, and therefore anyone from their perspective who believes anything different than they do on any issue, even if it's very secondary, they speak about the difference as if it was heresy and as if those people were heretics. This text does not justify that. And we'll see that more and more in just a few moments. Lots of people who I think are overly harsh and critical in criticizing people because maybe they have a different perspective on a particular minor or secondary point of doctrine, they still go so far as to call them heretics. And I think that's something to be careful of. Yes, be a Berean. I guess I would say it this way. Be a Berean, but don't be a jerk. Does that help? Be a Berean, but don't be a jerk. Or say it another way, it's not noble to be obnoxious. Right? It's not noble to be obnoxious. Yes, we want to examine, as the Bereans did, what is taught as truth from the Bible, and we want to make sure that it's actually in the Bible, that that's really what the Bible says. Now, here's an important thing to remember at this point, or to realize at this point. The Bereans had a presupposition. Maybe they wouldn't have used these terms, but they believed in, evidently, because of what they did, they believed in the clarity of Scripture. If you did take a systematic theology class, in the class on Scripture, you would very likely hear someone talk about the clarity of Scripture, because that's one of the things we see in Scripture. Scripture teaches this about itself. The Scripture is clear. Now, some of you may be thinking, wait, I've read the Bible. Sometimes it's not clear. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Well, to say that the Scriptures are clear is not meaning that every single text is easy. Because if you think about it, even the Bible says that about itself. Because once Peter was writing about Paul's writings, and he said some things in them, in the writings of Paul, are hard to understand. Of course, that's in 2 Peter, and if you read 2 Peter, you'd say to Peter, who are you to talk? Because there's some things in 2 Peter that are not so easy to understand. So to say that we believe in the clarity of Scripture doesn't mean that there are no such things as there's no such thing as a hard text. That there aren't texts that are hard to understand, because there are. But what this means is this. And I think it was Sinclair Ferguson's way of explaining the clarity of Scripture. He said this. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things in God's Word. And that's what we mean. And these believers in Berea, these Jews who became believers as a result of hearing Paul and examining what he taught, they believed this. They believed they could read their Scriptures, their Bible, the Jewish Bible, and if they read it in the way that they should, and I'll talk about that here in just a second, that they could understand, that it would be clear, and they could see whether what Paul was saying was in fact what their Scriptures were saying. That's what it means when it says that they examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That is, based on Scripture. Is this so? We can understand the Bible. But, again, as a clarification, and we see this here, this doesn't mean you can skim Scripture and understand Scripture. You and I can't skim Scripture, because even in that situation, or if we do it that way, even the main things are not always plain. We have to study the Scripture. And that's what we see here. Look, it says in verse 11 at the end again, they were examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They believed in the clarity of Scripture, but they believed that the Scriptures would become clear to them, and whether what Paul was saying was consistent with what the Scriptures were saying, that would become clear. They believed that, and so because of that, they studied daily. And so I think what we're seeing here is this: if you and I study Scripture persistently, daily — this wasn't once a week for these Bereans, this was daily — if we study the Scriptures daily, and if we study them thoroughly — and that's what the word here, examined, means. The word examined means to look at something at every angle and in every possible way, to thoroughly examine something. If you and I do that, if we persistently and thoroughly study the Scriptures, God will enable us to understand. God will make it clear for us, at least on the things that are crucial, the things that are the main things, the things that are essential for us to understand as followers of Jesus Christ. There are two verses that I want to also refer you to at this point. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. And this is an important verse because this verse helps us even more fully understand how we can understand the Bible when it comes to the things that are essential. This verse, 2 Timothy 2:7, is Paul writing to Timothy, who, by the way, remember we saw in our text, was with him in Berea. Paul left Timothy and Silas there, but then wanted them immediately to come, we're told at the end of our text. Paul, at the end of his life, wrote the book of 2 Timothy, and this is what he wrote: "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Now, that verse helps us to see that there are two sides to understanding the Bible. There's the human side, and there's the divine side. We have a part, God has a part in us understanding the Bible. The human part is at the beginning of the verse. He says, "Think over what I say," or it could be translated, "Reflect on what I say." So the implication here is we spend some time thinking. We meditate, we reflect carefully and thoughtfully on what the Bible says. Some people skim, as I said earlier, skim through verses, and then they hope and pray that God will show them, the Spirit will show them what it means. We shouldn't do it that way, because this verse tells us at the beginning that we need to think. We need to think over what Scripture says. That's what Paul is talking to Timothy about here in the book of 2 Timothy, and I think it applies more broadly to everything Paul wrote and to everything in the New Testament written by any other apostle. This is how we understand. We have a role, but there's not just the human side, there's also the divine side. The rest of the verse says, "For," that is, "since the Lord will give you understanding in everything." The Lord will give you understanding in everything. So while there are some people who skim through verses and hope and pray for the Spirit to show them what it means, and that's one error, there are other people who commit the other error. They study. They use their minds to grapple with the text of Scripture. They use concordances. They use commentaries. But they forget that it's the Lord who imparts understanding as a gift. And so we have to have both. I mean, we could ask the question like this. Let me illustrate what I'm saying. Someone might ask, does understanding, in reference to Scripture, does understanding come from the Spirit or from our studies? What's the answer? Yes. Yes, right? It's both. Our understanding comes from the Spirit through our studies. It's not an or, right? It's both. And so we have to, if we want the Scriptures to be clear, so that we can examine whether teaching is found in the Bible, whether, if we want to examine what we're hearing by the Bible, we need to understand that it's both. And so one commentator said about this text, the implications are study and pray. When it comes to understanding the Bible, study because we're supposed to think on these things and pray because we are dependent on God. Because He's the one who opens our eyes. The Spirit of God is the one who illuminates the Scriptures. And so we are dependent on God's Spirit. We meditate, He illuminates. That's how it works. Now, one more verse, John chapter 7, verse 17. I think this is another helpful text when it comes to what we're talking about this morning. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says here, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. Jesus here is talking specifically about himself and his teaching, but I think it also applies to everything that is God's word. If anyone's will is to do God's will, let that sink in. If it's your will when you are listening to someone teach the Bible, if your will is to do God's will, then you will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking or any other Bible writer is speaking from God, if what they're saying comes from the Lord. Now, let me just put it this way. I think this is another way to help you get at this. If your motive is to know so you can know, then you may not know what the Bible says. If your motive is to know so that you can follow, then God promises, and I think Jesus here is ultimately saying, that God will guide you. God will make it clear to you. If it's your will, whatever God says in His Word to be true, if it's your desire to believe whatever the Bible says is true, and if it's your desire, if your intention is to do whatever the Bible says you should do, then God will guide you and me in relationship to understanding the Scriptures. And so that's how we can be Bereans, right? We study and we pray, and our intention is to do God's will. And when that is our heart, when that is our posture, then God works. We could say it like this: study in the posture of dependence, because God gives it, God gives understanding, and with the purpose of obedience. When we approach Scripture like this, God will enable us and guide us by His Spirit to understand what Scripture says, and we'll be able to test teaching, examine teaching that we hear by the Bible. Finally, one more thing that we learn from this text: be open to receive teaching in the Bible. If something's in the Bible, be open to receive it, to believe it. That's what the Bereans did. As a matter of fact, most commentators say that when Paul here, or rather Luke, I should say, here in Acts 17, uses the word noble, what he's probably referring to is the fact that they were more open-minded or fair-minded than the Jews who were in Thessalonica. The Jews in Thessalonica, the majority of them, it seems, were from the beginning antagonistic toward Paul's message and to what he was saying about Jesus, the Jesus of history, being the Christ of Scriptures, the Messiah the Old Testament Scriptures predicted. But these believers were more open-minded. They were more fair-minded. They were willing to consider what Paul was saying in light of God's Word. They wanted to see if it was so, and they believed that if it was in God's Word, if it was true to God's Word, then they should believe it. And so that's why they did, because they found out and realized that it was. Again, I don't know how they would have expressed it, but the Bereans not only believed in the clarity of Scripture, they evidently also believed in the authority of Scripture. That is, they believed that God's Word was the ultimate authority. And that's something that all of us need to think about. Do you believe that what the Bible says is God's Word? Do you believe that everything the Bible teaches is true? And that it's God's will and God's Word? If that's the case, then God's Word should be the final authority in our lives when it comes to what we believe and how we behave. And we should come to the Bible open to receive teaching from the Bible. because the Bible is our authority. Here's what I think happens sometimes, though. Sometimes we interpret the Bible in light of our denomination. Sometimes we interpret the Bible in light of our tradition. Sometimes we interpret the Bible in light of our political position. That's wrong. We should interpret our denomination by the Bible. We should interpret our tradition by the Bible. We should interpret our political positions by the Bible. That's what it means for the Bible to be our highest authority. Our authority is the Bible. Not our tradition, not our denomination, not our political position. The Bible is our authority, as it was, or it should be, as it was for the Bereans. But you know, we have to be humble. We have to be humble when we come to the Bible if we're going to submit to what it says, no matter what. If we take the Bible seriously and believe that it is God's word, we have to take the Bible at its word, no matter who we are, no matter what we've been told or taught most of our life. That's our goal. Sometimes it's hard for us to see through those things and to be open and fair-minded when we come to the Bible, because we all come from particular backgrounds and we've been influenced by different people. One last thing I want to say that's interesting as we've made our way through the book of Acts, and we see it here in this text, and it's how sometimes Luke points out the high social standing of some who received the gospel. For example, look right here in verse 12. It says, "Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men." So there were some women and there were some men of high standing who believed. And Luke points this out. For example, if you go back to Thessalonica in verse 4, let's see, not verse 4. Let me start at verse 3. "Explaining and proving," Paul was, "that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined," yes it is, "Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few leading women." So again, we're talking about those who have a high social standing. Now, why does Luke do this? Is he partial? Does he think these people are special? Is that why he does this? No. I think it has to do with who these books are written to. Do you know who these books are written to? The book of Luke and the book of Acts, both written by Luke. They were written to an individual named Theophilus. We see that at the beginning of the book of Acts. We see that at the beginning of the book of Luke. And what's interesting is at the beginning of the book of Luke, Luke addresses him as most excellent Theophilus. Now, when you come to the book of Acts, there is that kind of address found three times. Most excellent, and then someone's name. Twice in the book of Acts, a man by the name of Felix is addressed by Paul as most excellent Felix. Two times. We'll see this later in the book of Acts. He was the governor of Judea. And then the one who followed him, whose name was Festus, is also referred to in this way and addressed in this way in the book of Acts. Most excellent Festus. So it's possible, as a matter of fact, it's probably likely that Luke was writing to a man, Theophilus, who had an important office in the Roman government. And if that were the case, it would not be easy for him to be a Christian. He would have a very high social standing, but it would not be easy for him to be a Christian. There would be a lot of pressure against him being a Christian. And so I think maybe as he's writing to Theophilus, either Theophilus is considering Christianity and Luke is writing these two books to him. Imagine writing this much. The book of Luke is very long and the book of Acts is very long. And here is a man named Luke who's a physician who spends enough time to write all of these two books to one man who is either considering Christianity or he has become a Christian, but he's struggling because of pressure, because of his high social standing. And the bottom line is, as I said earlier, it's not easy for any of us to humble ourselves and submit to God's word, but it's especially hard in certain settings. and in certain circumstances. So there was pressure. And then, of course, at the end of our text, Paul has to leave town again real quick. He had to leave Thessalonica real quick, and then the folks from Thessalonica came and stirred up the people against him, and he had to leave quickly again. And so we see that it was not always easy to be a Christian in that day. For Theophilus, because of his role in the Roman government, potentially, and even for Paul as he continued to proclaim this gospel, it was not easy for him to do so. And in some ways, maybe Luke wrote Luke and Acts to essentially say to Theophilus, if he had committed to Christ, hold fast. Hold fast. There are others who are in similar positions like you, who are of high standing and they have believed. Look at Paul. Look at how he continues to hold fast in preaching the gospel, even though everywhere he goes there are riots. And at times he's thrown in prison, and at times he's stoned. He keeps on preaching the gospel and believing the gospel. Hold fast to this message that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, that he lived without sin, that he died for sin, and that he rose from the dead so that those who trust in him could be forgiven and made righteous before God and have the hope of eternal life. These books, I think, Luke and Acts, are written for that purpose, to encourage one person to hold on, to hold fast to the truth, even in the face of social pressure and persecution. Let's bow. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us your word, and that in your word we have your words. We have you speaking to us. And I pray, God, that you would help us to accept and to embrace the gospel. If there are folks here today who have not yet put their trust in Jesus Christ as their only hope of forgiveness and righteousness before you, help them to see and to believe in Christ and to trust in him as their Savior and follow him as their Lord. And Father, for those who are trusting in Christ as their Savior, help us amidst the pressure that we sometimes face, amidst the persecution that we may face, that many around the world face, to follow you. God, help us to hold fast, confident that you will hold us fast. Thank you, God, that because you hold your own, you enable us to hold fast. So help us to believe that, that you will keep us, that you will secure us. Help us believing that to hold fast and to trust in Christ and to confess Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. In Jesus' name.